So the plan is to go over from Kotzer from the beginning. The plan is to start again from Kotzer. So let us begin and chazer that which we've done, and then hopefully Bezrat Hashem finish it up. Okay. So as we know from the Mishnah, the famous Mishnah, Adaf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, Avos Malachos Aron Chatzar Achas Zareya Ba'Achor Yishva Kotzer. Kotzer is a third of the Avos Malachos. Right, first they used to plant, and then they would plow, and then after things grew, presumably they would reap. They would gather in the food that grew. In terms of defining the malacha itself, the Rambam says in Perek Ches Halacha Gimel Kotzer, Gregarious Chayiv. One who cuts the amount of Gregarious is Chayiv. Tolish told us Kotzerho, and Tolish uprooting is a total of Kotzer, and here is the important part, called Okir, Davar, Migdulo, Chayim, Mishim, Kotzer. That any time you uproot something from the place that it is growing, that is Kotzer, that's going to be our working definition, says Rambam, Lefikach, Tzror, Sha'alu, Bo, Asavim, Uksush, Allah, Beseba, Asavim, Shemaskul, Al-Gav, Yachavis, Atolish, Mim, Chayim, Shizehu, Makam, Gidulon. Therefore, says the Rambam, something very interesting. Let's say you have moss or grass that's growing on a rock or on the side of a wall or on those areas. Then the one who uproots that's going to be a violation of kosher. Why? Because that is the makom gidul. That is the place in which it is growing. Aval toish mi'atzit sheino nakuf. Pater, one who uproots a atzit sheino nakuf, we should all be familiar with that, I certainly hope so, right? A flower pot that does not have a hole on it. Patmi sheinze makom gidulav atzit nakuf b'chidei shoresh katan harehu ke'eretz v'atolish b'menu chayev. However, an atzit nakuf, which is in the ground, that's going to be a chiyev. So that's going to be a problem of kosher. Yes?
If you like cut.
Yes?
But that's not
soil. No, but what you cut is you uprooted it from its life. Well, this brings us to our chakira. Just because last time, let's do it again. But nevertheless, yeah, that's going to be a violation of Kotzer. What we really want to know, once again, when it comes to analyzing the Malach of Kotzer, there are, when it comes to, let's say, the classic example, let's say ripping an apple off of a tree. So really what you did was two things, right? We could crystallize your action in two separate ways. Either I was mafsik yinuka, as we like to say. I removed the item from its place of sustenance where it's receiving sustenance, or what I was doing was, I don't know, that might be like two copies, I don't know, whatever. Or on the other end, I could also be removing something from the ground. Okir davar min hakarka. This seems to be a machlokas between the Yerushalmi and the Bavli. The Yerushalmi famously says, Rabbanan de kisarin amrin hahin de tzadi kavra v'kol davar shatam abdil michiyoso chayim yishim kotzer. What does exactly mean? That the Rabbanan from Caesarea used to say that those who trap fish on Shabbos, as the Korban Eidah says on that Gemara, the Masechta Shabbos Perek Zayin, the people who trap fish on Shabbos and remove them are chayiv. What do they violate? One malacha? What? Kotzer. They violate kotzer on Shabbos. Okay. What does that show? Were the fish connected to the ground? Obviously not. So therefore, what's the definition of kotzer? What? Removing things from its life source. Excellent. However, on the other hand, we have another Gemara. The Gemara in Maseches Chulin, Daf Kuf Chav Zayin, Amud Beis says, Amar Rav Chiya Barashi, Amar Shmuel Te'enim Chetzamku Bavien, Mitamos Tumas Ochen, Batolosh Rehen B'Shabbos Chayiv Chatos. Okay, that food or Te'enim, figs that were dried out in the summer, in the hotter months. So it's Metame Tumas Ochen, which we're not going to get into right now. But if you remove them, then one is going to violate Kotzer. Now let me see you a question. Are you uprooting, are you removing the already dead Te'enim from their life source? No, exactly. Amazing, Seth. Fantastic, yes? So they are already dead. And because they are already dead, therefore, what do we see? That the definition of Kotzer, Lechora, according to Gemara and Chulin, is less about the removing an item from its sustenance, from its life source, but it's more important to focus on removing something from the ground. This machlokas actually centers around the shiloh that was presented to the Har Tzvi. Did we do the Har Tzvi last time?
Yeah. When, how, water, we'll do. And plant.
Amazing, yeah. Yes. Saharzi was asked the following: Mafsik yenikas zeraim ayidei havas chamim o ayidei shvichas roschem ichai mishum koter. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank was asked the following question: one who pours water, boiling hot water, on a plant, and that causes the plant to die, is that going to be a violation of Kotzer? There's a long analysis that takes place in the following lines. Part of that analysis happens to deal with Gufa, this question that we're talking about. And this would be a perfect nafkamina, meaning that if Kotzer is about removing something from the ground, well, by pouring hot water on something from the ground, did I uproot it? Obviously not, it's still in the place that it was. However, I may have caused this plant that was once living now to have died. Now, I may have removed it from its life source, and therefore that may be a violation of Kotzer. That is part of the Har Tzvi's discussion over there, and he leaves it b'tzarach Ian. Okay, so that is the background when it comes to the Malacha of Kotzer. Let's get into Kotzer Lamaisa. Says the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shin Lamed Vav Sev Gimel, Mutter Leilich Agave Asavim, it is mutter to walk on grass, whether the grass is wet or dry. What's the difference whether it's wet or dry? If it's dry, so then if you see dry grass, or like, you know, it's brittle, so there's a chance you might break it easier. It's, you know, it's easier for it to uproot it. Nevertheless, walking on those, on that grass, is going to be okay. Says the Mishabura, O Mashma Bigamara Shafil Im Asabim Him Arukot Buholich Yachaf. Even if a person is walking barefoot on very high, long type of grass, Shasavim Regilim Yos Nidvakim Bikishre Etzbaosav. Afilu hachi mutter. Even though when a person is walking barefoot and there's very tall grass, they're regilin, it's likely that the grass may end up on your feet. Nevertheless, that's not a problem because of what klal? It's a davar shein of skavin, and it's not, Ben, what is it not? Excellent. Mutter delap sikresha, who says in Mr. Brua, it's not a sikresha, sheyitlosh, that it's going to be certain that you are going to uproot it v'lachein, and therefore afilu yitlosh gam kein ein iser alav. And therefore, even if it happens to be, at the end of the day, that you uproot it, nevertheless, that's not a problem. That's not going to be a violation of Shabbos. Shuina mechayvin lazad. You had no intention to have that happen. You didn't care for the grass to be uprooted, and that's just what happened. Umiko makom says in Mishabura, he adds in a chumra, but I think we could contextualize this in one moment. Im la'achar alichaso, oh no, I'm talking about the next Mishabura, we'll contextualize, but over here, it's important to know. Umiko makom la'achar alichaso, mata shenitgu asavim biraglov, bein etzvaosav al mina'alav. Let's say after you walk, all of a sudden you see you have grass all over between your toes, on your feet, or on your shoes. Yizayir shalo yisalkum biyado. You should be very careful not to remove them with your hands. Why? Dasurim betiltum yishom muksa, because these things are muksa. Right? They were not mechim for Shabbos. They were muksa from the time Bein HaShemashos happened. And therefore, it's going to be a problem to handle them at Shabbos. The Bein HaShemashos have mechubarim. Because the Bein HaShemashos, like the Mishra said, they were mechubar to the ground. Things which mechubar to the ground. The Bein HaShemashos say muksa the entire Shabbos. How do you want to remove it? So, some of the Achronim suggest you could use the back of your hand. Maybe that's some form of klach riyad. And maybe a tiltum in atzad. And there are other ways to do it. But one certainly shouldn't be, I guess, very particular in the way that they remove these things from themselves. It's not just about walking barefoot. If anybody's ever, you know, sat outside on the grass on Shabbos, right? Many times when you get up, there might be grass on your pants, right? That you want to remove, you know, the stuff which is stuck to you. So, you know, a better way to do that is maybe to shake your pants so you're not actually handling or touching the grass. Or if you smack your pants or you hit it with the back of your hand, some of the posts can think that that is going to be mutter. Yes.
So kavana,
well, there's two ways to understand kavana, like we said before. Kavana could be that I know it's going to happen, or kavana is that I want it to happen. So that's a discussion and a big machlokas haposkim. But even leaving that aside, the point is that I don't care. I don't want grass on my feet. Like, I'm not interested in that. And therefore, as long as it's not certain, as long as it's not definite that it's going to happen, it's going to be mutter Shabbos, the classic case of sikresha. So, yeah, you good?
Yeah, maybe a question, actually.
you look at it as the entire thing as a whole, that you're going to eventually have grass on your foot, or you look at it as it, like, each step?
So it's a great question. My understanding is that I think we could view it as, you know, I would say like this. Let's go back to the classic example of Sikresha. Let's say you say to yourself, you know what? Some of the ground might be soft. What's the classic case of Sikresha? What the Gemara gives? Okay, so not Sikresha. Sorry, I apologize. The classic case of the Shulchan Aruch brings up a Sikresha or Dabar Shem Mitzkavin. The classic case of Dabar Shem Mitzkavin in the Gemara is dragging a bench across the field. So, generally speaking, let's say you're not sure. You're not sure whether the bench is going to cause a chritz, whether it's going to cause a furrow in the ground and be a violation of Choresh. So, therefore, it's better to drag it across. Now, how do you figure this out? We're actually going to get to this, hopefully, when we get to Dash and Mirza Hashem, when we discuss baby wipes and Rav Asher Weiss's awesome definition of Dash and why baby wipes are mutter on Shabbos, according to him, and according to everybody. But we'll have to get there, Emir to Hashem. But, what? They're OU wipes?
Yeah.
Baby wipes? Really? Cool. Okay. I would love to know about them, because I'm curious what the OU sheet on these things are. All right, we'll have to come back to that in a moment. Okay.
Ask is so stark that they don't hold over a bunch of words.
Anyways, let's get back to what we're talking about. So when one is dragging a bench across the field, so part of that, like, it's not about, right, it's not about scientifically, well, the bench weighs, you know, X amount, and the ground, based on my calculation, is soft this amount, and therefore I can calculate. You have to use your common sense. Do you think it's going to cause a furrow or not, right? So let's say you drag it across. I don't think you need to be looking every step of the way to see whether it's causing the furrow. If it does, if it ends up causing the furrow, it's not a big deal. The same way that if you keep on walking and you end up having grass on your feet, that's also not a problem. However, I would say as follows, and I think this is an important thing to keep in mind, that when it comes to every step, let's say the edge of where you're dragging the bench is always where the ground is the most solid. It's the most, condensed. And therefore, that's the place which is going to be the least likely to cause a furrow. Let's say you know that with certainty. And then you drag it and you notice immediately that it's causing a furrow in the ground. Then I would say in that situation, it might be karov lipsikresha, that when you drag the bench across the rest of the field, you know that if it's causing a furrow over here, it's going to cause a furrow over there. However, I would imagine when it comes to, let's say, stepping on grass, nobody actually knows which grass is more likely to be, you know, uprooted as I walk, and therefore every step is going to be mutter as long as I have that. I think we view it as each step is what we're really focusing on, and we're not looking at it in its totality. That's exactly what he's saying in the Mishnah Berurah, that if I walk, and it happens to be afterwards that I find grass on my feet, that's not going to be a problem. So pushing it in would be maybe similar to, like we discussed before, about right around the Machlokas in the Mishnah about in Agala, that it could be that walking is more like pushing it down than it is about, you know, causing a furrow. So it's a good question, you know, how we define that exactly. But I don't think walking necessarily going to cause a furrow, and walking is mutter. Yes. Hard to know, because, like, people walk in different ways, and, you know, not everybody, meaning, right, people weigh different amounts, and people walk, you know, they land on the ground different. I think there are many factors. You have to use your common sense. So, like we said, every step is different, meaning most people, when they walk on grass, no matter what, they're not, like, pulling up with them chunks of grass, right? This is not like lawn mowing. Yes? They're walking, and it happens to be if grass falls up. Okay, let's go to source number 8. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Kivachin Mechavein, right? I am the Biyar Alacha, Shekasav the Dahachi. Now, this is a point, and I think this is going back to all the points that you were concerned about. Da'asavim him gedolim, Yizari shalo yarut aleim, Da've psikresha, Sheyitlosh bevadai. So the Mishnah Berurah just adds basically what you've all been concerned about. Let's say you know that it's going to be a psikresha. So, for example, so he says, maybe one should be careful not to run on the grass. Okay? Maybe one should be careful not to walk very quickly on the grass if the grass is very long. So, okay, it's all about using your common sense. If you think that it's going to be a pictoresha, so then you should withhold yourself from engaging in such an activity. If you don't think that's going to be that way, just like it could be davar shemis kavin, that's also going to be, then it's going to be mutter to engage in those activities.
What? Based on what you want.
No, it's not just about what you want. We discussed this before, right? The difference between a psikresha and davar shemis kavin. Right? The psikresha is that when I do an action which is definitely going to happen, then it's going to be asr on Shabbos. When a psikresha, davar shemis kavin, what did I just say? Sorry, yes, correct. Davar shemis kavin is where I don't want it to happen, and therefore it's mutter even if it may or may not happen. So psikresha is always going to be problematic. Davar shemis kavin is mutter because I don't want it to happen. Okay, let's read that. Let's leave that aside for right now. Let's go forward. Okay, source number 9, flower pots. Okay, this is something which is really important to know. Aser litlosh afilu mi'atzis she'eino nakuv. It is aser to uproot even from an atzis she'eino nakuv, meaning even from a flower pot that does not have a hole. Okay, we're gonna have to explore and see exactly why that is the case. So source number 10, shin lamid vav sif ches, says the Mishabura. Atitz perish chachati kacha zorin shalmasavim, right? Something which a flower pot. Afilu enu nakov yeshli zarim yitol metutol meyagavi karka lulaniach agavi yisedos o ibcha ba bein shu shal eitz bein shu shal charis. Okay, says the Shulchan Aruch, a very important clause. You need to be careful. And we already saw this come up in Gemara slightly. You need to be careful and ensure that you do not move on Shabbos not a flower vase, but rather a flower pot. Okay, a pot that has a live flower in, whether it is of eitz or whether it's shalcheres. What's the difference between eitz or cheres? Anybody know? What? Well, not about mekalvin, just about kalmatuba, but about what would be the difference? Well, let's start from the beginning. Why do you have to be careful not to move around a flower pot on Shabbos? What do we call that? Did Gemara bring this up? Yanuka, right? Yanuka, is that familiar? Bionic, right? It means it gets sustenance from the ground. If you ever go to a mall there, or any place, they have a cheder hanaka, a nursing room, right? Meaning it's to get sustenance, a baby, gets sustenance from its mother. So too over here, the plant is getting sustenance from the ground. That's yonik. Therefore, it's important. Therefore, that's why it's usher to move around the flower pot on Shabbos. That's the difference between cheres and eitz, wood versus pottery type of pot, is how porous it is, meaning how easily it's able to be makabel sustenance from the ground, whether it's able to be yonik or not. A cheres pot, a clay pot, is more porous, and therefore it's more likely, we view it to be a little bit more serious than that of eitz or that of metal, certainly. But nevertheless, both eitz and cheres are going to be problematic. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Let's see what the Mishnah Berurah says, and let's see how he breaks it down. She'eino nakuv, says the Mishnah Berurah, aval, me'atz nakuv chiyuv nami yish bazeh, lefi she'yonik min hakarka al-yidei ha-nekev she'meriach luchloches hakarka derech sham. Okay, says the. Did I finish the Shulchan Aruch? I apologize. I did. Did I finish Shulchan Aruch? I don't think I did. I did. Okay, I said. Okay, so but the important part which I've got to add from the Shulchan Aruch is as follows. I'm sorry that the while this is difficult for those who never learned Maseches Gittin or other Masechtos and Shas to understand, but nevertheless, it's still true halakhically. What does it say? You have to be careful to not to remove the. Atzitzaka from where? From a yisedos. What are those?
Foundation.
Or okay, but also from?
Roots.
From poles. Or from a nail on the wall. Meaning that what? We don't care whether it is suspended in the air. Nevertheless, we still view it as being somewhat attached to the ground. Right? We saw that when it came to the boat, correct? Right, if you have a boat and you have the atzitz nakuv on the boat, correct? Whether in Yisrael, true Mishmaisos, do you remember this a little bit? Mishmaisos is good, right? So it doesn't matter that it's not directly connected to the ground, The fact, even if it's suspended in the ground, there is still yinuka, there is still some form of getting sustenance on the ground, and therefore it would be problematic if you were in your backyard and you had a flower pot hanging from, I don't know, a chain that some people have, I guess, right? And you wanted to move it from one chain to another chain, that would be a violation of kotzer. It was not the chain of nakov. And to put it back down, that might be a violation of Zoreya, in a new place. Yes, absolutely. That's exactly what the Mishnah points out. What the Mishnah says in source number 11, She'ino nakav ha-mi'atzat nakav chiyuv ha-nami yishvaza. If it has a hole on it, if the flower pot has a hole, then it's also going to be a chiyuv. L'fisha yonek min ha-karka al-yidei ha-nakev shemariach l'chachas ha-karka derech sham. Because it's able to suck up the nutrients that exist in the ground that it helps the flower pot grow. Or the flower itself grow. It's going further. Afilu inu nakuf the gam bezeh yesh chashash tlisha midirabanan. Let's say there is no hole in the flower pot, and therefore seemingly there is no ability for the pot to gain any type of nutrients from the ground. Nevertheless, midirabanan, we think that's a problem of tolesh, it's a problem of kotzer. Mimnesha mafsik yinukaso ma'at. Because it still is some type of hefsik yinuka, even to the slightest degree. The culture came in ma'atat hunakav the tzelech lizari b'zeh. And obviously, if there's a hole on it, then it's going to be a problem even more so. Al gabi yisedos on these pegs. Ratzalomar av she'inu mafsik shum davar bina atzat la'akarka. Even though there is nothing separating between the atzat and the karka, between the flower pot and the karka, the culture came in ma'amidu agavi itzim. Oh, Agavi begadim the yesh bazeh yisurim im uosa kain bat tzedakov yesh bazeh tzlisha v'nitiya minat Torah. Has a hole, then it's going to be tolish minat Torah. Al kain yizayer yesh yizayer ma'od bekli im asay bosim chiragil liyos b'bayit shelo yilito minakarkol niyach agave hashochan o lehefich. You need to be very careful when moving a flower upon a Shabbos. Now, I want to be very clear with you. Halacha l'maisa. The Chazon Ish was very, very nervous about this. So much so, if I'm not mistaken, the Chazon Ish thought it was problematic to move flower pots always. And he didn't think that necessarily the houses that we have were a good enough hefsek between the flower pot and the ground. So Lamashal, if there was a flower pot in this room, right, the Chazon Ish might tell you on Shabbos not to move it. Because if you move it, let's say, from this table to the other table, you may have just violated, at least Midei Rabbanan, Tolish, Kotzer, and maybe Zoreya, because you uprooted from one place and you got Yanuka from another place. Other poskim are not as concerned about this. For example, if I'm not mistaken, I don't remember exactly, I believe Rosh Hashanah Zalman says that if you are in a multiple story house, say a basement, or let's say we're on the second floor of the base medrash here, so then that is good enough to be mafsik. And someone pointed out to me that Rav Asher Weiss went even further. Rav Asher was matir because of the fact that even the ground that exists below this building or below your house is not a ground that is able to be cultivated or planted upon, right? It's been so destroyed that whatever cement and concrete and foundation there, you can't really grow with that, and therefore it's really okay to move the flower pot. Halacha l'maisa, I would tell you as follows. I would tell you that if you need to move the flower pot, I mean, if you can avoid it, so like, meaning there's really no reason to move flower pots at all, except for, I think there are these flowers called orchids that people like, is that what it's called? Orchids? Something like that? No? Okay. Yeah. In the other place where I teach, they are more aware of these things than Baruch Hashem. Yeah. Ashreinu. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So there's something. There are certain pots that people use. So okay. So if you need to move it from your table to somewhere else, that's okay. But I would be careful that if your flower pot is, let's say, on your windowsill, and you wanted to, and it's part of it was hanging over the windowsill, that still might be yonek slightly, and I'd be careful to move it. But if it's inside the house, and I think there's what to be somecha, to be makel, to move it around your house. So that's halacha l'maisa of flower pots. So if it's outside or in a garden, so then certainly you should not move them, because that's going to be a problem of kotzer, maybe midoraisa, but at the very least midorabanan. If it's, you know, inside your house, there's certainly what to be makel on. If it's on your windowsill, where maybe part of the flower, or part of the plant is hanging over outside onto the grass, then I'd be more nervous about moving that as well. Just to put a slightly different spin on this discussion, the double taking question, is the Rav was not into this. I don't know if he's not into it, but he had a different take on the Yanuka situation. He didn't necessarily believe that it was a function of actually gaining sustenance or nutrients from the ground. Rather, it was what he viewed it was as a status of being mitzarev, was a tzarev. Is at what point do we see that the plant is still connected to the ground? So it's not about whether it actually gets sustenance, but I'll peel on this, whether you view the pot as being still somewhat connected to the ground. When it's suspended over the ground, you know, in terms of halachically, that's how we view it. We view it being connected to the ground. That's just a slightly different take on the exact same halacha. Yeah, what's up? Flowers are cut in a vase, right?
Yeah.
So those are mutter to move. Yeah, I'm only referring to flowers or plants which are growing in a pot.
So you have that.
What?
So you have that on your table.
If you have that on your table in your house, so I think there's what to rely on to move it on and off the table. But I would be careful not to, let's say, move it from my table to my windowsill where it could be hanging over out onto actual grass. That might be a real problem of kotzer on Shabbos. Or Zoreya. Yes. Right, so that'd be a problem with Zoreya. Certainly that could be an issue with Zoreya. If you're Miskavi and Lekach. But let's leave that aside for now. But yeah, certainly that, if that's what your intention was, that could be at least, you know, Midirabanan or a grama of Zoreya. Absolutely. Good? Awesome. Okay, let's go further. Okay, climbing trees. Climbing trees on Shabbos. Source number 12. Says the Shulchan Aruch Shin Lamed Vav Sif Aleph. Ein Olin B'ilan. It is usher to climb a tree on Shabbos. Bein Lach, Bein Yavish. Whether the tree is Lach or Yavish, what does that mean? Okay, you know what does that mean? What? Alive or dead, excellent, right? Whether it's winter or summer, I guess. Bein Nitzlan Vav, Bein Mishamshim B'chob B'lakarka Klal. You're not allowed to use anything which is attached to the ground. Why? Gzeira Shemi Yalav Yitlosh. It's a gezeira. This is an offshoot of kotzer that we're nervous if we permit one to climb trees on Shabbos or climb things that are connected to the ground. Then what might happen is that you may, as you're climbing, need to rip off a branch. Allah. Now this is fascinating halacha. Allah be on the Shabbos. Let's say you actually climb the tree on Shabbos. Bishogeg mutter leireid. If I did it b'shogeg, meaning I did not know it was Shabbos, or I did not know that it was also to climb a tree on Shabbos, then it's mutter for me to go down. B'mezid, but let's say I went up intentionally, and I knew that it was also to do it, then it's also leireid, then I am stuck there for the duration of Shabbos. It's also for me to go back down. Ah, you might ask me, if I went up b'mezid, then do I really care? So let's... What?
Yeah.
What?
That's what Dominic's about to ask.
Very good. Seth is, Seth is like the Kedushas Levi, and he recognizes that as soon as the guy gets up on the tree, and he recognizes and he sees Marabu Masach Hashem, look at the beautiful world that Kadosh Baruch Hu created. I created in 6 days and rest on the seventh. I Ribono Shalom at Shabbos. I feel so bad, and therefore, as a way of doing tshuva, he stuck up on that tree for the duration of Shabbos. Rosh Hashanah Zalman points out that if one. Two things, obviously. Obviously, if it's a sakana for you to be there all Shabbos, so you can come back down. But I believe Rosh Hashanah points out that if you jump from the tree, meaning you don't use it on your way down, so then that is mutter as well, because then you're not actually using the tree to climb down. You're not actually using it. So then it's okay. It's not any worse. What? Okay, so that's like a Dever Shein Miskavin, and we're not really super concerned about that, but I hear the point. Okay. V'im Allah mi ba'od... What? So you can't jump down. V'im Allah mi ba'od yom, and let's say you climbed up on Friday, meaning before Shabbos, b'chol gavnei matulir mishach chashechaden, even if it became, you know, Shabbos, as you were up on the tree, nevertheless it's matulir to go down. V'yish omrim dahani mili kishay daitulir mimrod yo. That's only true maybe if you had intention to actually climb down the tree while before it was Shabbos. Aval im lo yadaitulir mimrod yo. Lo yirid mishach chashechaden. Then you're really stuck there for the rest of Shabbos if you were trying to, you know, I guess, outsmart the, you know, gezeira of Tolesh system. Lo yideya. Kivin shayadai toleshev sham b'isr. Because you really wanted to be up there b'isr, and therefore, because you wanted to be up there b'isr, so therefore we were gozer on you and gave you kenas, and you need to be there for the rest of Shabbos. Let me finish the Ramadan. I'll take questions. V'davka adam sha'ala sham. And that's only true of a person who climbs up there. Aval im hiniach sham chifetz mi ba'od yom. Let's say I accidentally had a item that was up there, let's say there was a ball that was stuck up in the tree on Shabbos. Also, litlo misham mishabbos, it's also removed on Shabbos. Because that be ilon koyote bo, this is only true when it comes to a tree of okanim harakim, kiyerek mutter the shamish bam, alpha bishim chabra and lakarka, but smaller type of reeds, those are mutter to use, even if they are connected to the ground. They ain't also the shamish be yerek. Because, you know, small greenery or shrubs, those are mutter to use on Shabbos. It's only really referring to trees, which I'll have to define in a moment. Questions? You good?
Okay, one, ball is also on Shabbos. You don't have that issue. Second,
you're throwing down the Yerushalmi, I see.
The ball is right. Second, so tree houses, that's all.
Tree houses are pretty difficult to justify. We'll see if we can find something. I'm happy this is all, you know, the Dori Doris. Okay. Anyways, amazing. Okay, what? Okay, are we ready? God bless all the Jews. Okay. Ready?
Yep.
Okay, so what does climbing mean? Let's define exactly what is climbing. Ve'in notlin. Ve'in nitalim bu'adin de'in nishanim nismachin ka'bo. Okay, so not only can you not climb, you're not even allowed to lean on the tree. Okay. However, the Mishnah Berurah qualifies all the way at the end of Simen Shin Lamed Vav. So this is the beginning, right? See Sif Katan Beis? That's what we just read, which is the beginning on Sif Aleph. But if you go all the way to Sif Katan Kisamach Gimel, which is the end of the Sif, the end of the Simen rather, says the Mishnah Berurah even further, L'hashem b'ilon im ha'adam bari mutter v'tash koach aser. If a person is healthy, then it's mutter to lean on the tree. But if you are strong, then it's mutter to lean on the tree. Fatam da'atzam bari inun sumich alav el ma'at, v'lo mikri mishamish mechubar. Avatash koach tzarech lismach b'kol kocho alav u'mikri mishamish mechubar. V'asr. Says, the Mishnah Berurah points out just very simply, a person who is strong and able to withstand, stand by himself, so that if I'm leaning on the tree, that's not really called leaning. But a person who's weak, and therefore needs to lean on the tree, so then you're really being mishamish b'karka, b'mechubar, and that's going to be a problem on Shabbos. And the Mishnah Berurah adds one very important qualifying factor. V'hani mili, and when this is all true, kishaino minido. That's only when it is not
moving.
Excellent. Aval kishamidio afil v'bari aser dezeh gufo shimishu. However, any type of moving of the tree, that gufa is the shimish itself, and that's going to be problematic on Shabbos. Okay? So what is using it? Let's go, you know, this is sounds similar to, right, we see when it comes to, let's say, standing for Shmoneh Esrei and leaning on Shtender. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you know, that what do we say? We say that if you would remove the Shtender, then, and you would still be standing, so then that's a mutter type of leaning. And if, let's say, you would remove the Shtender and you wouldn't be standing, so that's an usher type of standing, that's not called standing. I would say similar to the tree, if one is leaning on the tree, so much to the point where you would, you know, fall over, so then that would be a problem. But if you're just leaning on it slightly, then it would seemingly would be okay. Right, it's a good question. Meaning he brings up both factors. How healthy you are and how much you're actually leaning on it. So if you want to be machmir on it, that, you know, certainly is worthwhile. Okay, This is Hector for, I was told, a Tap Tap Trio is a game that people play.
I was thinking that.
Okay, good. Amazing, Alicia. Yeah, so Tap Tap Trio is still... Mutter and Shabbos, just don't play with David. Okay. I'll be honest with you. You know, whatever. I have no idea to play Tap Tap Trio, but I'm looking forward to somebody teaching me afterwards. Source number 14. Okay, I'm looking forward. Okay, Manichin Nair. Okay, ready? So this is, let's understand exactly what does it mean to use the tree on Shabbos. How far do we take this? So, there's a very, very important Gemara that discusses this in Masechet Shabbos. The Gemara says as follows. Minichin Nair, one can leave a candle, agabi dekel b'Shabbos. On a dekel. What's a dekel? Right, it's a tree. You can leave it on a tree on Shabbos. So why would they ever have a candle on a tree on Shabbos? This is what we call, bizman hazeh, street lights. Yes? Right, pre-electricity. So there's a split. It's mutter to leave a candle or a lantern on top of a tree on Shabbos, but it's usher to leave it on a tree on Yontif. Anybody want to speculate what the difference between Shabbos and Yontif is in regard to this? Why would it be mutter and usher? What? Okay, you can do bishop, but we're not trying to cook the tree. What? Why is it mutter on Shabbos but asur on Yontif? Anybody know? It's mutter on Erev Shabbos to leave a candle on a tree that's going to be there for the duration of Shabbos. But in Yontif, it is asur to leave a candle up on a tree that's going to be there for the duration of Yontif. Yeah? Excellent, fantastic. Awesome. Yes, that has to do with what Ben said when it comes to Bishul on Shabbos. But really, you know, more than just Bishul, has to do with Heter ochel nefesh. It is mutter, right? Nair on Shabbos is not, I'm sorry, on Yontif is not muksa. But nair on Shabbos is muksa. So, now let's let's play this out. If I leave a candle on the tree on Shabbos, so therefore am I nervous I'm going to remove it from the tree on Shabbos? No, because I'm not allowed to use the nair anyways. I'm not able to use the candle. Okay? However, if it is Yontif, so might I want to use the candle? Of course I may want to use the candle for either cooking purposes or in order to light other candles, and therefore what am I nervous I'm going to do? Remove the lantern or the candle on Yontif from the tree. Okay, now I want you to tell me, if you look at it, that's exactly what Rashi explains, but there are two different ways in which Rashi and the Ritva actually quote this discussion. Look at Minich and Nair. So Rashi says, Mi ba'od yom, right? We're talking about it on Friday. Agavi dekel, v'yatlik sham b'shabes, t'lekel l'meichas, l'kishe yichbe, l'shalakim yinei, v'nimtza m'shabes b'mechubar, t'kivin d'ktsoyel, d'var asher b'in shoshu, d'ktsoyel l'kul yom. We're not nervous, you're going to remove it on Shabbos. V'ein minichin b'yom tov, why does shakul malachol, yom shabes b'ilan? Because you might remove it on Shabbos and you're going to be using the tree. Take a look at what the Ritva says. What is it called using a tree on Shabbos? What does he have in there that the Rashi does not have? What? Right, no same gufo ala ilan. Correct? Does Rashi say that I am going to actually be pressing my body up against the tree? No, Rashi doesn't mention that. All Rashi says is, if I remove it, then that's called me using the tree. Correct? But according to the Ritva, he says, what's called using the tree? I may press my body up against a tree, maybe I have to climb up the tree in order to go and get it. Therefore, we see that there seemingly is a machlokas between Rashi and the Ritva as to what is actually called using the tree on Shabbos. So, lamashal, if I was tall enough, or let's say there was a, maybe not a ball, but according to those who, you know, are not as machmed as some of the Sadiqim in our Chabur over here, one who wants to play ball on Shabbos and suck up on a tree on Shabbos. So if I take another ball and I throw it, am I using the tree on Shabbos? Well, according to the Ritva, no, because my body was not up on the tree. According to Rashi, seemingly yes, because removing something from a tree is called using the tree on Shabbos. Now, why is this important? So Rav Simcha Banim Kohn, in his Shabbos home, brings up the following heter. Okay? What? If, look from the second paragraph, if an object was placed on a branch of a tree, I apologize for the bizarre, you know, whatever. This was a picture from my phone that I PDF'd and did not do a good job. If an object was placed on a branch of a tree prior to Shabbos and it remained there for the entire period of Bein HaShemashos, the object is classified as muksa. No, sorry, I don't want that part. I want the first paragraph. I always get confused. The first paragraph. Items that came to be on the tree accidentally may be removed on Shabbos. For example, if the wind blew one's hat onto a bush, which is taller than three tefachim, one may remove the hat from the bush on Shabbos. What does Rav Simcha Bar Mikon say? That let's say something accidentally ended up on the tree on Shabbos, and you didn't plan for that to happen, it would be mutter to remove that item from the bush or from the tree on Shabbos as well. If you look in the footnotes there, part of his analysis has to do with what's called using the tree on Shabbos. And combined with the fact that things which end up there on Shabbos, it wasn't your intention, and therefore that may not be called using the tree. In addition, he says, if you're not actually leaning on the tree, according to the Ritva, that's not a violation of using the tree, that's only a violation according to Rashi, and therefore that becomes a relevant heter. So, one second, David. Lamashal, for example, one who may be playing ball on Shabbos, or I know, Chas v'Shalom, right? And you want, and again, and the ball gets stuck up on the tree on Shabbos, would it be mutter to remove? So, according to Simcha Bar Mikon, the answer would be, yes, you would be able to remove there because it only ended up there accidentally on Shabbos. It wasn't your intention to do that on Shabbos. Obviously, if it was a Pesach Reisha, you wouldn't be able to throw a ball and rip off the branches, right, you know, for it to come down or some of the leaves. Personally, my Rebbe, Rav Ben Arsh, is not super fond of this heter, unless, you know, it's out of great necessity. So, you know, Lamashal, you're, what? Okay, Yesh gar sim kacha, but there are other, you know, let's say a person's, I don't know, somebody's, a woman's walking down the street and her sheitel flies off, or her tichel flies off. In that situation, obviously that would be necessity, that would be enough reason. One's hat flies off, that also may be enough reason as well, because maybe hat is life or something like that. Okay, awesome. So that is those heterim. Yes. I am not saying anything. this is from Rasilcha Banam Cohen. What? Right. You know what? This is something which is really what? This is something really important. This is like a really important discussion that we should be fighting out in the Beis Medrash. So, you know, whatever. What? So, yeah, so meaning maybe it was a baseball cap. It's raining. Raining and it's windy. Okay, anyways. Go source. Okay, source number 8. Source number 8 for Kalamoi trips. Source number 18. Source number 18. How do we define a tree? Okay, we already saw some of this in Rasilcha Banam Cohen, but let's actually get down to the real definition. Sharshi ilanon ha'il sharshi ilan ha'gavoy min ha'aret gimel tvachem as le'shamshen pachzikan mutu le'shamshen tikakarki chashivi. This is actually a very relevant sukkah halacha. That at what point is a tree considered, you know, a tree that you're not allowed to use as long as it's three tvachem above the ground? Why three tvachem? But it's three tvachem, the halacha of Lavud, excellent, fantastic, yes, being connected to the ground. Lavud, something within three tefachim, within halakha, that's considered, you know, one section, one unit. Therefore, anything three tefachim within the ground is considered lavud, connected to the ground. That's not called a tree, and therefore it's mutter to use something which is less than three tefachim. Okay, what is a mutter way to use a tree on Shabbos? So, I'm sure we've all seen this before, or heard about this somewhat. Also, the shamish bitstidei ha'ilan aval bitzadetzidin mutter. Excuse me. Yeah. The one is usher to use the sides of a tree on Shabbos. However, the side of a tree is mutter to use on Shabbos. Levikach, therefore, usher the smocha sulam mitzada ilan dechi silek bay mishamish bitstaden. Therefore, it would be usher to lean a ladder on the side of a tree because by doing so, that's actually you using the tree itself because the ladder is being somech on the tree. Aval im yesh yeset taku b'tzad ilan. But let's say there is a peg. There we go. That which is stuck in the side of the tree on Shabbos, and then you're able to be somech to lean your ladder on that yesed on that peg. What do we say? Love the habi yesed stadim. The sulam tzidet sadim. The sulam is the tzidet sadim. The yesed sadim. Therefore, that is a much way to do it. The matzah bo yesed, the tola bo kalkala. Ha yesed nikrit sadim. The kalkala could tzidet sadim. Similarly, if you had a basket that was hanging from a tree, from a peg, so then that would also be mutter. Okay, basketball maybe if you wanted so. Umutter li gai bi ilan vavachal yanidu. So what we saw this again. So to touch the tree, as long as you don't move it. This is like becomes very relevant. Those who have hammocks, yes. I don't know if they have hammocks connected to trees anymore. When I was growing up, they had hammocks connected to trees. Now people have hammocks on poles, not nearly as comfortable. But those who have hammocks just connected to trees, I had one in my backyard growing up, and it was Baruch Hashem. It was tzidei tzadim. Yeah, you weren't born yet, I don't think. What? Okay, fine. So, well, I had one to attach the two trees. So it's tzidei tzadim. It was that was much to use on Shabbos. But something I'd say, you know, a lot of times I think, if I'm not mistaken, in Florida, like the palm trees that they have. So a lot of times the hammocks are just wrapped around them.
Florida.
That would be a problem. That would be a problem on Shabbos. Okay. And this brings us, mamish, to the last source. Okay. This is actually a really interesting source. Okay. Hadas, Mechubar. Okay, let's start from the beginning, okay? There's actually Machokas. Machokas we showed him about the following. About smelling things connected to the ground on Shabbos, okay? And so Machokas we showed him about what is Mutter and what is Usser. So what are options? One are flowers and one are fruit. Edibles versus non-edibles. There is one Shita that holds that what? It is Mutter to smell flowers on Shabbos, but it's Usser to smell fruit on Shabbos. Why? What's the Svara? What? Exactly. However, there's another Shita in the Rishonim that says the opposite. It is mutter to smell fruit on Shabbos, but usher to smell flowers on Shabbos. Why? What's the Svara there? Because really, the fruit, you know, is there in order to eat, and therefore smelling it, you'll know not to pick it. But the flowers, the primary purpose is to smell them and enjoy the scent, and then that's going to be a problem on Shabbos. What does the Shulchan Aruch say? And then David will take your very, very important question. Give me 1 second, source number 20. Hadas mechubar, a hadas which is connected, mutter lariach, but it's mutter to smell from it. Etrik with tapuach, will call davar a roi lachila. However, anything which is roi lachila, we're nervous that when it comes to edibles, that we may be so enticed by the scent of the object that it will cause you to actually pick the fruit on Shabbos, and that's going to be problematic. But things which you're able to enjoy them as they are by just being in the ground, such as flowers and other things, that is going to be mutter to do on Shabbos. Okay, and that brings us to the end of Kotzer. And Emir Tashem, you want to get this question on?
Yeah.
So, retroactively, I'd be curious over the past Shabbos, if it was mutter for me to smell it, but
no. That's for you, Rebbe.
Rebbe, don't tell me you haven't smelled it. I've been smelled
it. Yeah, we've been brought
to that.